And now keeping this very receptive and meditative state of mind, let us now go through our teaching segment, which is the astral body, the continuation of last month's. We won't have time to do all of it today, so we'll do whatever we can, and then we'll keep the rest for next month. So last month we looked at the astral plane. So today it's the astral body. So first of all, what do we mean by the astral body? It is an aggregate of forces working through into the consciousness in the forms of desires, impulses, longings, wishes, determinations, incentives, and projections. And it's really the effect of the interplay of desire on the self at the very center. And the resultant effect of that interplay between the self and the vibrations of the astral plane is experienced as emotion or pain or pleasure or any of the pairs of opposites. So if we were to describe our astral body, what it would be, what would it be? It is a great reflector. And as we noted last month, water is the symbol of the astral and of the astral plane and of the emotions. So we're going to be seeing lots of photos of water, which really brings the quality of the astral body to our minds. So just like water, the ocean or lake, it's a great reflector. It takes color and movement from its surroundings. It contacts every whim and fantasy in its environment. Every current sets it in motion. And it receives the impress of every passing desire. Every sound causes it to vibrate. Just like patterns form when water is subjected to different frequencies of sound on a cymoscope, so too the aspirant vibrates to different vibrations or kinds of desire. Unless we train the astral body to receive and to register only those impressions that come from the intuitional level via the soul. The astral body is the prime motivating factor in the lives of the bulk of humanity. And this is due to the fact, to several facts actually. One, it's the body in which the bulk of human beings are today focusing their attention. Two, it is the most developed, and DK used the word abnormally developed. In other words, more than the usual. And therefore it receives the bulk of the life energy as it comes down the life stream from the soul and likewise receives the energy of consciousness. And three, because it's the latest to develop, it is still the most alive and the most potent body. It reached its peak of development in late Atlantean days, and its potency is still great, constituting the mass potency, the mass emphasis, and the mass polarization. And four, it is also augmented by the energies coming from the animal world, which is entirely astral in its point of attainment. We will see this point will become a little bit clearer further down in the slides. We can't talk about the astral body without talking about the solar plexus. So if you would like to refresh your memory about the solar plexus, which we discussed in detail last year, you can look up at the teaching segment of the March 2020. So the solar plexus is the center in our etheric body through which the bulk of humanity lives and moves and has its being. Humanity as a whole, we're all conditioned by desire, whether it's good desire, selfish desire, wrong desire, or a spiritual desire. But it's desire nonetheless. It is the outlet for the astral body into the lower worlds, through which, and it is the instrument and the outlet through which emotional energy flows into our immediate world, because it is the organ of desire. We express that desire very easily. But it is also the entry point from the astral plane and beyond. If you remember from last month, all the astral counterparts of that chakras carry the energies from the seven planets and from the sun to the whole of the astral plane, therefore putting us en rapport with all parts of the solar system. And remembering too the point that we brought up last month, that our solar system, which is part of the body of the one whom naught may be said, the cosmic logos, is also born of desire and is therefore a child of necessity. So it's not just us human being which is motivated and impulsed by desire. The whole of our solar system and beyond our solar system, the cosmic body. So we are not alone. So the relation of this center, the solar plexus, and the astral plane is extremely acute. It's the recipient of all emotional reactions and of desire impulses and energies. And because humanity is today becoming active in a group sense, in other words, we're becoming more and more aware on a group level, and we are becoming more and more inclusive in our consciousness than ever before in our history, the situation is one of acute and extreme difficulty. So mankind, through the individual and through the collective solar plexus, is becoming subjected to almost unendurable pressure. And I think that we can all witness that statement. But such are the tests of initiation, DK tells us. And as humanity, the world disciple is right in the middle of the soul being materialized on the physical world, in the physical world. And a lot of us are going through the second initiation as well, and a lot of us are also going through the third initiation. So all these energies are beating on our shores, on our planetary shores, stimulating us, stirring a lot of things for us. So the solar plexus is an organ of synthesis. There are two organs of synthesis, actually, the ajna and the solar plexus. But the solar plexus is an organ of synthesis for the lower energies, or the lower forces, I would say, the base, the sacral, and the minor chakras, prior to the integration of the personality. If you remember this from our study of the solar plexus, so the solar plexus gathers the energy, the forces from the base, the sacral, and the forces of the lower minor chakras, gathers it because it's a clearing center, and then gradually distributes it to the various higher centers. The base goes to the head, the solar plexus goes to the heart, and the sacral transmuted to the throat center. Now, to remind us, how does this happen? How do we experience all these astral impulses and sensations and feelings? It's because each chakra has various counterparts. If you remember, there are four parts to each chakra: the jewel, the mental aspect, the astral aspect, and the etheric aspect. So it's the astral aspect that makes us experience and feel. Astral body and the rays. All the seven rays flow through the planes, but each ray works through one center primarily and through the remaining six. If you remember in our study of the etheric body, we likened the chakras to a TV station, right? The TV station receives the electrical impulses from all these stations, but each station then focuses on one vibration, one frequency, and transmits that. And it's the same with each chakra. They all receive all the rays, but each chakra will then transmit a particular frequency. And the solar plexus transmits the sixth ray, both through its etheric counterpart and the astral counterpart. The only one that differs is the ajna, 4-3 for the astral and 7th for the etheric and vice versa for the base. These, the base and the ajna are the only two that differs. Now, normally, the second and the sixth ray will govern the astral bodies of just about everyone. But occasionally, this rule varies, particularly in the case of disciples. And sometimes the disciple will have a ray one body. It's very rare to have a ray 5 or a ray 3 or a 7 astral body. Very, very rare. And it's also rare to have a fourth ray. There wasn't anybody in DK's disciples who had a ray 4. But if there was a ray 4, then it would have to be a very harmonizing energy. The person would fluctuate between conflict and harmony very, very easily, would have energy galore or intense astral impulses one day and fluctuating between the pairs of opposites the next. So, but let's have a look at the traits of a ray one astral body, which we know occurred in amongst the disciples of DK. This astral body is very much, I describe it like a walking volcano, would have a lot of difficulty connecting to people because all the emotions would be suppressed, would be unresponsive to other people's feelings. But when that emotion is expressed, it's almost like an expulsive, like a cathartic release of suppressed emotions. There would be a lot of fear of emotional attachment, fiercely emotionally independent. And that person would be isolated emotionally as well, always feeling that he or she is alone. And all this information, folks, come from Michael's books, The Tapestry of the Gods. So if you would like to consult his book, it's a great source of energy explanation of the various rays. And Michael goes through all these points individually and explains them beautifully. So if you want to go through and discover what your ray, your astral ray is, Michael is the source to go to. Whereas the traits of a ray two astral body would be totally opposite. Very loving, very calm, very gentle, very serene, very patient, unemotional, and non-reactive compared to the ray six, and we're going to see this next. But this astral body is very sensitive, very fearful though, and suffering, can easily be overwhelmed. It would have easy contact with other people, heartfelt attachment to others. as the expression goes, that person would have their heart on their sleeves. They would identify with other people's feelings very, very easily, would have a lot of sympathy and empathy, compassion and protectiveness of others. And his or her heart would go out to many. Whereas the sixth ray, which is very, very common in, I would say, would be the most common ray, would be that of devotion. Devotion to a range of things. Devotion to one's family or to one's children. Devotion to a cause. Devotion to one's work. Devotion to anything that we believe in. Devotion to one's spiritual God or Allah, whichever spiritual force or being that we choose. And that body would be very emotionally dependent, always asking to be loved, always. Would be very reactive, would be very rapidly aroused to either anger or compassion or whatever emotion would be very rapidly aroused and would lack emotional control. This type of astral body would take things personally. It would be filled with desire rather than with unselfish love. But it would be emotionally persistent and would be very intense, almost fanatical. And we know some religions are that fanatical. The negative aspect is that it would adhere and be attached intensively and would have a lot of problem letting go. It would be very one-pointed, narrow band of emotional responsiveness, and definitely would tend to emotional glamours. Very common. And I think that we all recognize to a certain extent our emotional body here. So folks, we won't have time because there's a lot in this chapter. So we've got all of this to go to. So we won't have time. So we'll finish it next month. So thank you for joining us today.